Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. How many of you saw the moon before you got out of your car this morning? I noticed the moon. It was still out, yes. But welcome to worship at the Trinity United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. In your bulletin, you'll notice we sort of had a normal week in some ways. I guess if you want to hang around after worship this morning, you can enjoy some coffee hour with the men, sponsored by the men. And then this week is when our admin assistant, Taylor, is going to be on her honeymoon. And so the church office, which is normally always open, at least during the day, morning and afternoon, then she won't be there. If you need to get a hold of me, just send me a text or give me a call or send me an email, and I'll be glad to arrange a meeting with you. We'll have a confirmation this Wednesday at 4:45, and then next Sunday we'll have a regular morning, and then at 3 o'clock the Lincoln Land Association will have their fall meeting, and anyone and everyone is invited to come. If you're curious about what the association does in Lincoln Land, which of which we are a part, then this is a great time to come and just listen and ask questions. And then we'll have some food to eat, sponsored by the Parish Life Committee. So that's another good thing, you can come to enjoy that. So it'll be a great meeting. I'm looking forward to it. The only thing that's not in your bulletin that you might be interested in is there is a gospel concert on November 4th, which is a Saturday. I am a big gospel music fan, so I am going to make sure it's on my calendar. Over at Oakland City, that place where the college is. So if you like gospel music, it's a great opportunity. The Isaacs and the Hoppers, I believe. So I wanted to make you aware of that. Is there any other information you want to share with one another at this moment, at this time? We're all good? God is good? Yeah. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Let's then share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I want to invite you to stand and sing. Marianne was giving us just a hint. Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. It's number 459 in your hymnal. And of course the words will be on the screen.
Come Thy Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Your grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of endless praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Greater, daily I am drawn.
Let us join responsively in our invitation to worship. Humbly, we come before you, O God. We humbly come into this sacred space. We humbly come before you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to tear down walls of pride and relax in the warmth of your Spirit. We want to experience your unconditional love, receive your blessings, and find hope through Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue in unison with our morning prayer. Watching God, like the Pharisee, we can stick our thumbs into life, pull out a prayer, and congratulate ourselves for being good Christians, until we remember the harsh words we spoke last week, the hurt we inflicted on someone we loved, or the lack of compassion that we failed to offer to someone who needed our help. Forgive us, God of grace, and deal gently with us. May we be more like the tax collector, humble and penitent, acknowledging our faults before you. And then may we receive your divine mercy promised to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the message. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this, "O God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, and said, "God, give mercy, forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home, made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself."
Amen. May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. It is indeed God's holy word. Memorandum to Howard Ben Joseph, Chief Collector, Capernaum Toll House, Interior Receiving Station. From Levi Ben Alpheus, former collector. Subject, my new career opportunity. Dear Howie, I meant to get this memo to you weeks ago, but I really haven't made the time. Edgar said that you were upset that I didn't tell you if I was coming back, so you've been saving me a place all this time. The thing is, I wanted to write more than just, "I quit," signed Levi. The truth is, I liked working for the Interior Receiving Station. You were a great boss and a real friend, so I figured you deserved more of an explanation. I just didn't know how to explain it so you'd understand. See, this guy barges into my office on a Wednesday morning, walks over where I'm arguing with Joseph Ben Jacob about the valuation I'd put on those four jars of spices that he was bringing in from Damascus, and he says, "Follow me." Well, I didn't need that. Joseph was already giving me a hard time, and so what if I did value the jars just a little bit high? I mean, we both knew what he was carrying in the bottom of those jars, and it wasn't his dirty socks. So I said, hold your horses, Mac. And then I noticed the four guys with him giving each other looks like, well, who does he think he's talking to? Like that. But, oh, you know how it is, Howie. When you sit at the customs desk, you're king. And folks just have to wait till you're good and ready to deal with them. See, I knew the four guys were fishermen when they came in the door. But the main guy, I couldn't quite figure out. He looked like a skilled worker. Turns out he had been a carpenter over in Nazareth with his old man. Anyway, I recognized the four guys as Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Now, it wasn't the Sabbath. So what were the owners of the two largest fisheries in the North Coast doing wandering around in the middle of the day? Kind of started me wondering, who was this bozo anyway? Well, the whole scene distracted me, and I guess I quit listening. And when I came out of it, I realized Joseph had really beat me down. You'll find all the paperwork on my desk, but don't hassle him about it. Next time you see him, just say, Levi says, God bless. That'll blow his sandals off. But after Joseph left, I turned back to this guy, and I hear James ben Zebedee call him Rabbi. Well, I got up. I mean, I would have in the first place if I'd known he was a teacher of God's law. I may not study it, but you got to show a little respect. I remember he'd said something just a couple of minutes before, and then he said it again, follow me. And this is the part that I can't explain, Howie. This guy wanders in, wants me to drop everything and go with him. And I should have asked him 1,000 questions, but instead, I just pushed back to my chair and followed him out the door. Me, four fisher folk, and a wandering rabbi. You know, part of me was thinking, oh, I'll be back this afternoon. Yet my feet, they knew they'd never be parked under that desk again. And as we walked, kind of rose up from my feet and dawned on the rest of me, this is a whole new life. Something really big. Me, Levi, a tax collector, not exactly the most popular guy in town. A rabbi's disciple? I mean, wouldn't Simeon, that Pharisee, he'd be surprised. He hates it that I even live in his neighborhood, me with my unreligious friends and our all-night parties. He hates all of us who don't keep Moses' law to the letter. He figures it's because of Israel that is under the lousy Romans. Because of us that Israel's under the lousy Romans. See, it's God's punishment, you see. Because, well, I don't tithe my pomegranates. And he hates tax collectors worse, because, see, we work for the tetrarch who cooperates with Rome. I mean, wouldn't it give Simeon fits if he saw me hobnobbing with a real live rabbi? You know, thinking about Simeon's eyes bogging out made me forget myself, because I said to the rabbi, how about dropping by my place for dinner tonight? He stopped, and he looked at me, and I heard the four mackerel brothers behind me gasp before I realized what I'd done. Oh, I'd put him on the spot. See, a real live rabbi ask me to be one of his bunch, and I embarrass him by asking him to eat with me. Not just come to my house, which would be hard enough, but to actually sit down at the same table and dip in the same dish with me. He probably eats kosher, prays every day, goes to synagogue on the Sabbath. It was like asking him to eat with a Gentile, or worse, a Samaritan. And I was just getting ready to say, oh, I know you're busy and you have a lot of teaching to do, so there's no reason for you to hike all the way out to the suburbs. I'll just reserve a table at Rachel's Religious Restaurant and Seafood Emporium. But before I could, he turned to the others and he said, well, boys, what do you think? And they all looked at each other. And then Simon, the one he calls Petros, the rock, he just burst out, Master, the shepherd who left the 99 safe sheep just found the one who was lost. The rabbi threw back his head and he roared with laughter. And then he threw his arms around my shoulders and he said, I'm going to call you Matthew. Now imagine me, a tax collector, being called Gift of God. And he said, it'll be a joy to come to your house for dinner tonight. And that's when I remembered Howie. It was Wednesday. The weekly gathering of my poker club was meeting at my house. They had been expecting a rowdy evening away from the wife and kids with pizza and beer and cigars and dealer's choice. And what would they get? A rabbi. So I was itchy all afternoon wanting to go home and see what magazines I needed to hide, but it didn't happen. And as we got close, Simeon was studying the law in the courtyard of his house. And he stared at us for a long time. And then he just ran inside. He probably had some phone calls to make. Then when we arrived at my place, it all came to a head. Fast Eddie was already there, practicing his one-handed triple cut. And Sam had popped a beer and was working his way through Playboy. And Jocko, he was making entries in his little black book, you know, the one we all knew not to ask him about. And they looked up as we waltzed in through the door, and Fast Eddie fanned the air under his nose as he got acquainted with the aura of the four friendly fisher folk. Guys, I'd like you to meet some new friends of mine. Maybe you know these guys from the fish market. This is Simon. Call me Rocky, he says, as he stuck out his big paw. And his brother Andrew. And this is James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. And this, taking a deep breath, is our rabbi, you know, our teacher, Jesus, he said, with a smile as he went to each one, got their names, and started talking to them. And the looks I got, And that's when I heard the air horn as Jimmy and his partner, the Jericho Kid, pulled up in their 18-wheeler in front of my house. I really couldn't take any more, so I ran into the kitchen and started yelling at the servants to start rustling up some food and drink. And then as I came back with dip and chips, I stopped, dead in my tracks. The boss was on the sofa, and the guys were sitting in the floor in front of him. And he was making like a rabbi. Only he wasn't talking a lot of religious stuff, you know, like the scribes and the Pharisees. He was simply telling a story. I'll never forget it. A Pharisee and a tax collector, he said, glancing over me, went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee went up front, confident in his own virtue. The tax collector, though, was on his knees in the back, hiding behind a pillar. And the Pharisee was glad in his heart, and he prayed, Dear God, I thank you. I am a good man. I keep the law. I keep myself pure and holy. I pray for your holy people and for Jerusalem. I tithe to your temple for all I receive. So thank you for guiding my steps so that I'm not unrighteous or idol-worshiping Gentile. You know, thank you that I'm not an extorter of money or an oppressor of the poor like that tax collector over there who doesn't keep your holy law. I mean, who does he think he is coming into your sacred temple? And as he spoke, Jesus looked. He looked right into my heart, filled with guilt and shame. Well, who did I think I was, pretending to be a rabbi's disciple? I never even paid the slightest bit of attention to God. I noticed a couple of guys looking at me, and I realized there were tears on my face. I just let them be. And Jesus went on. The tax collector couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Instead, he just beat his chest and softly whispered, "God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." And Jesus' voice got that, you know, certain tone in it that kind of made us all hold our breath. "Amen and amen," he said. "I tell you the truth. This man went home right with God. Yet not the first." And that's when it happened, Howie. With only a handful of words, Jesus opened a door to God for a bunch of rum-dums and fast operators like us. And he made us all brothers. And I decided I was going with this guy wherever he went. And from then on, he was my boss. It may seem crazy, but when you've had heaven handed to you on a platter, when you've been given a new name and a new family and some self-respect, well, you just got to go with it. And after that, Simeon and his cronies showed up. Oh, I figured they'd come to holler about Jericho's rig parked out front. And I could tell from the looks on their faces they'd heard that last bit about how the Pharisee was not right with God. And they were mad. If for some reason they stayed, it was like the boss's teaching had a hold on them too. In fact, they listened to everything that he had to say, and they were still there when we sat down to eat. Oh, Simeon just about turned green at the unrighteous assortment of food that I'd scrounged up. But Jesus never blinked an eye. He just sat down and he took bread and he lifted his eyes to heaven and he blessed God as the one who brought bread out of the ground for us. And then he broke it and he passed it to each of us. When I got up to refill glasses, Simeon waved me over to the door. "You and your friends, come in and eat with us," I said. "The rabbi'd be glad to have you." But he just looked at me and kept his toes firmly planted on the other side of the threshold. See, next to all his purity, I felt sinful and unclean until I realized he was jealous. He wanted Jesus at his house. He was the best man in the neighborhood yet. When a real live rabbi came around, he came to the house of a sinner like me. I saw the longing and hurt in his eyes when the boss put his arm around Andrew's shoulder. I saw beneath his anger, the anger in his voice when he asked me, "Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? We're the God-fearing people." Jesus heard him because then he said, "Simeon, well people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." And then he said something still haunts me. "I didn't come to call virtuous people. I came to call sinners to repentance." And he kept his eyes on Simeon's face until Simeon just turned on his heels and went back home, which made the boss sad. Yet I knew in my soul it was true. In fact, the whole point of this letter, Howie, is to tell you what's happened to me. When the boss said he came to call sinners to repentance, I knew that he had come to the toll house that day to call me. And even though I've had a good life financially, it hasn't always been fulfilling mentally or emotionally, and certainly not spiritually, but I've thought about my money and my power and my prestige more than enough to compensate for the lack of God's presence in my life. See, I thought I didn't need all that God had to offer, but I was wrong. When I met and then made Jesus my Lord, He gave me this whole new life, like a new understanding of life's meaning and purpose. And it's not about money, fame, or fortune. It's all about loving God and yourself and others. It's about relationships that I'd given up hope of ever having. See, Jesus gave me another chance to relate to God and to others in a spirit of acceptance and love and forgiveness. He filled up all that emptiness with His peace and power. So you see, Howie? Jesus gave me a new career opportunity that provides comfort and hope and security and assurance for the present and the future. So now, Howie, everything I do will be done to glorify God. Every dollar I make will be given to further God's kingdom on earth. And every person I meet will know who and what I am. I'm forgiven. I'm a new person. I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus the Christ. Oh, I guess that's about it, Howie. Jesus has turned my life completely around. And I'm with Him now, from now on, no matter what. I mean, I'd even follow Him to the death if I need to. So take care of yourself. Give my regards to the staff. And I'll give you a ring when we get back to town. Maybe have you over for dinner with Jesus. What do you think? You just got to meet Him for yourself. I mean, who knows? You might even decide to join our band. And if you do, it'll be the experience of a lifetime. But till then, Howie, you're in my prayers. Your new friend in the Lord, Matthew. Amen and amen. For those who know the joy and the hope and all the ways that your heart is filled with love and compassion and goodness and grace, I invite you to sing. Let's sing together, "O Savior, Let Me Walk With You," as we prepare for prayer together. Trust that triumphs. who's brought a joy with them to worship today.
I have a joy.
Yay! Well, I can see that's a joy. You went to give and you came home receiving what you meant to give away. It reminds me that yesterday I was in a workshop all day and in Louisville. We played this game called Give and Take. And we each had a little Dixie cup full of candy corn. And we were supposed to go around the room and not speak. And not look at each other in the eye, and not touch each other, not do anything to communicate. And we're supposed to give and receive this candy corn. And so, you know, the idea was, well, whoever gets their Dixie cup emptied first will be the winner, right? But, of course, everybody wanted to do that. So, you know, it was hard not to have a full cup of candy corn because people were giving theirs away, and you wanted to give yours away, and you pretty much ended with the same amount of candy corn that you started with. It was to help us understand how important it is not only to give, but also to graciously receive, maybe when you don't even want to. Any other joys you've had or something you're looking forward to in the coming days? Yes? Oh, that's great. Good birthdays, yeah. And we had a birthday over here, but she's not going to talk about it, I don't think. Yes, ma'am. Rain? It's coming? Well, I hope so. Oh, how about needs and concerns? Yes, yes.
My best friend is having cancer surgery Wednesday.
Yes. First name?
Larry.
I should know that. Any others? You leave today? For how long? Okay, good. Well, safe travels. That may be a long flight, huh? Oh, wow, okay. Any other needs, concerns? Who do we need to keep in prayer today?
Pastor,
yes. We are keeping you in prayer, Gary. If there's no others, or if you do have someone in your heart, on your heart or in your mind, you, of course, have just as much access to God as everyone else. Let's go to God together in prayer. I want to invite you to take a deep breath. And as you do, let go of all the fears and concerns, things that you brought with you that are uncertainties. And take in another deep breath and know that God is always and will always be with you. No matter what you do, where you go, or who you're with, God is there. And finally, another deep breath so that we can focus on being one body in Jesus Christ. One body who I believe, when we voice even silently our prayers together, perhaps they have more impact. Let us go to God, binding our hearts, our minds together. Most holy yet most gracious and loving God, some days are so much harder than others. Of course, we appreciate all the goodness, ways you bless us beyond our feeling that we're even worthy. All the ways you've blessed us in any way, by any means. There's the financial blessings. There's the blessings of friendship, loving relationships, those who cherish us as we cherish them. The little things that get shared with us, the notes of appreciation and care, and just a reminder that you are the one who binds us all together, so that we might be a witness to others, so that we might show forth that life is different when we have a relationship with you. When we have a relationship with you, you provide us with peace and comfort, even strength and endurance, to get through the day, hour by hour, or even minute by minute, breath by breath. So, yes, God, we are joyful not only for birthdays and anniversaries and the receiving of gifts. We are thankful for you caring and loving for us enough to never leave us, never forsake us, to always be present, to give whatever is needed at the moment. Holy God, but that's something that goes way beyond our ability to comprehend. We do try to be present to our family members and our friends, yet at times our minds are so filled with distractions, concerns, fears, uncertainties that we forget to be present to others the way you are present to us. You are such a good God. You are generous and kind and gracious. You are loving and forgiving, accepting, and you restore us. You restore our peace and our hope. Help us remember that you gave Jesus, your Son, simply for our benefit, so that we might learn how to be in a relationship with you, and that we might know that you value us no matter what, that we are worthy because you have created us in your image. So yes, God, we come to thank you and to praise you, to give you glory and honor, and also to remind ourselves that we not only need you, we want you in our lives. We want you to constantly remind us that you love us and accept us. You are willing to lead and to guide us and give us all we need. So thank you for being present to us, God, for caring about us and loving us. We want to lift up before you Larry, and Gary and Arlene. We want to ask you to make sure that as Mark travels through the air, his spirit is calm and collected because you are present right there in that seat next to him. So much you do for us, God. We bring all of our thoughts, our prayers, our needs before you. We place them in your care, assured that all is good, all will be good, because we pray all of our prayers, whether they are spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, which is constantly with us, in that blessed, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus, your Son. For he is the one who taught us to pray together in this manner: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us, give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, this little story that Jesus told that affected Matthew's heart so greatly was not the first time that Jesus had contrasted Pharisees with tax collectors or other sinners, Gentiles. He often tried to bring Pharisees into an awareness that they were just as valuable, or not more valuable than all other of God's people. There's one verse in some of our Bibles that says, when you go out to give or share your alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Or maybe it's vice versa. So we're told to keep our giving, both to God and to others, not as a matter to show off, but simply as a matter to humbly know that that's one way we are expressing our love to God and our love for others, by what we want to give and receive, by our little give and take game that I played yesterday with my colleagues. So Jesus warns us to do what we're going to do quietly without involving other people, unless it absolutely matters. So I bear that in mind today as I prepare to make my offering and you have prepared to make yours, or perhaps you already have. But let's join together in our prayer of dedication of our gifts. Caring God, we humble ourselves today by returning the bounty you've shared with us back to your care. Without pretension or self-righteousness, we resolve to be slow to judge and ready to provide aid. We strive to increase our commitment to being thoughtful, generous people. Help us to be unassuming in our service, yet bold in our witness. We pray in the name of the one who served your kingdom here on earth, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing together. Hopefully, I think it's some of your favorite music. And your hymnal is called Some Glad Morning, but we know it as I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll
join in our blessing and benediction. We are loved by a God who calls us. We are inspired by a God who calls us to bring justice wherever the meek are humiliated. We covenant with a God who calls us to pray for peace wherever the church is divided. So let us go forth then to be the church. Amen. Thank you.